thank you, councillors, staff and our audit representatives. I appreciate this and say welcome all to this year Rattle Shire Council Extraordinary Meeting on the 14th of March 2023. Time is now 4:12. The prayer, Almighty God, we humbly ask you for your grant your blessing upon the council, direct and prosper our deliberations to the advancement of your glory and the true welfare of the people of our Shire and Australia. Amen. The recognition of traditional custodians. Your Rattle Shire Council recognises the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and acknowledges Aboriginal elders past, present and emerging. We extend this respect to our other Indigenous Australians who may be present at the meeting today. Councillors, I would visitors, I would remind you that this meeting is webcast and that audio recorded and we'll keep the records. And I would ask that people refrain from making any defamatory statements and also if you could turn off your mobile phones. What I'll do now is ask the Executive Director of Corporate and Community Services to introduce our audit visitors and then once we've had that report and questions, we'll then look to actually open the formal part of the meeting. So thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, from the Chair. So I would just like to welcome here today Jacob Sawyer, who's our principal from Forsyths, and also Igor Ivanikov, that I think everyone has met Igor before. So welcome to both of you. Thank you for coming along today. And I will just mention it is Jacob's birthday today. So thank you for coming here on your birthday. I also just wanted to mention that just an apology from our department. The uploaded documents that you received into Nextcloud were correct. In picking up the attachment for the report, however, for the business paper, we picked up the incorrect attachment there. So that's all been corrected in the business paper, and we've confirmed that we have met the legal requirements to advertise the meeting, the date and the public notice that went out was all done correctly. But just be assured that what you do have in Nextcloud is the correct version of the financial statements. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, did you just want to invite the auditor to speak to the report next and then obviously questions as well, if that's all right? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Kate. Yeah, and thank you for having me along to present the results of the audit for 2022. I have some areas in the financial statements to highlight for council that are consistent with what we generally discuss from the New South Wales Audit Office for all councils. So just backtracking a little bit, I probably should provide some context. So I am the audit principal for Forsyths, who is the audit service provider for the New South Wales Audit Office. Your audit office director is Chris Harper, and he's an apology for today. So I've come to represent the audit office on his behalf. What is quite pleasing, I'll start with the most pleasing part, is that is for the opinion that the audit office issued for the financial statements was unmodified. So that's the best result you can get from an audit opinion perspective. It means that based upon all our audit procedures, we consider that the financial statements are materially correct. And that's a really good outcome. It shouldn't be understated. There has been a number of modified opinions in the last financial year in particular, but you know it's a good indicator of the quality of the financial statements when we issue an unmodified audit opinion. With regard to particular areas of the financial statements that I wanted to highlight, in terms of your operating statement, which is your income statement, rates and annual charges has increased by 5.8% from 6.9 million in the prior year to 7.3 million. This is mainly attributable to increases for the rate peg. So every year you can increase your rates based upon the rate peg. It was only about 2% for the year, so the remaining increase is actually attributable to a 10% increase in your water access charges, as well as charging a sewer access charge now that your Bundara water project is completed. The next thing I wanted to highlight is grants and contributions revenue. it's increased from, it's actually decreased, sorry, from 15.5 million in the prior year to 14.5 million in the current year, which is predominantly due to, in the prior year, due to the droughts, you were getting a number of grants associated with those, with the drought, including the Drought Communities Program and a few other drought stimulus grants, which obviously when Australia went away from the drought conditions, those grants have started to dry up. No pun intended there, over the last couple of years. So that's a predominant movement of the decrease in the grants and contributions revenue. Your operating result from from continuing operations has actually decreased from 4.8 million to, from 4.9 million to 4.8 million, which in the first instance you would say that our operating result is essentially our profit. A decrease in that is bad, but what I look at more so than your operating result is your net operating result before capital grants and contributions, which has actually improved quite significantly from a loss of 2.4 million to a loss of 1.2 million. And the reason why I look at that as a better indicator of your performance is those capital grants and contributions, how they work is you recognise the revenue in your income statement, but that expenditure is capitalised in the balance sheet. So it's not a clear picture if they're not offsetting in the same statement. So it's better to take them out and look at your result with those excluded, and that has improved. So that's quite a positive sign for council, even though it still is a loss, which is obviously not ideal, but it's improving from the prior year. That's a better indicator from our point of view. The next area that I want to look at is cash. So as we're all aware that cash in running a business is king. If you have cash and cash reserves, you'll be able to continue operating and surviving any economic downturns and that sort of thing. Your cash position has improved from 17.5 million in the prior year to 19.9 million in the current year, which is a good outcome. What I just want to highlight is that as a council, you have sort of three tiers of cash. You have your unrestricted cash, which is monies that you can use for whatever purpose that council sees fit. You have internal allocations, which is what this council has determined they want to set money aside for particular projects or particular purposes. And then you have external restrictions, which either the funding body or through some other form of legislation or requirement must be used for that particular purpose and cannot be used for anything else. With that regard, you've improved your unrestricted position to about 800,000, up from last year it was 300,000. So that's a good result. Your internal allocations have increased, so you've set some more money aside for particular projects and purposes. And your external restrictions have increased from 12.7 million to 14 million. So looking at that increase in cash, it's not all, money that you can go out and spend on or whatever you see fit. There's only a small portion of that is discretionary funds, and the rest of it is for particular purposes. I just wanted to highlight that as, cash is going up, but see it as a cautious increase, not a great increase. The other area that we like to highlight to councils is your performance measures. So a number of years ago now, the Office of Local Government determined what it wanted to measure councils on in terms of long-term sustainability. So there's a number of ratios that the Office of Local Government requires you to report in your financial statements. And they have benchmarks set to go whether you're performing above or below expectations. Now, in our report on conduct of audit, we report on six ratios from the OLG. Council has met three of those ratios and hasn't met three of those ratios. So you've met 50% of the ratios that we look at. In terms of those ratios, you did not meet your operating performance ratio, which the benchmark is set at a profit or a break even essentially, and because you've made that loss for the year, excluding capital grants and contributions. So it's that net operating result excluding capital grants and contributions. You haven't met that ratio for this year, and you haven't met that ratio for the last 3 years either. So that's just something to be aware of. The next ratio is the own source operating revenue ratio. So it's an indicator of the revenue sources that council receives, what's generated by council and what's actually being received from, you know, other government entities, so grants and contributions from state government, federal government, those types of things. And it's a measure on, you know, if tomorrow all other government support were to be cut off, what is the probability that council would be able to continue operating? The OLG determined that 60% of council's revenue should be derived from own source. Council has not met that for the last 2 years, but did meet it in 2020. But you're close. So as I said, the benchmark is 60%. You're at 57.5% for the year. And one thing to consider with that is it can heavily fluctuate year on year depending on your grants and contributions that you're receiving. So if a state government is trying to, you know, stimulate a particular component of the economy, you might get a lot of capital grants, a lot of grants for various purposes in a year, which actually is to a detriment to this ratio. So I always look at this in terms of long term and where you're sitting over the long term and not just a year on year, of which case council is, you know, met it in 2020, and you know there's been a lot of grant activity in the last couple of years which has dipped you below that benchmark. The next ratio is the unrestricted current ratio, which council has met. The benchmark for that is 1.5 times. And in terms of calculating that ratio, it's about your unrestricted current assets versus your current liabilities. It takes away those restrictions in assets, because obviously they need to be used for particular purposes. So it takes those out and then looks at your current ratio. And council has a current ratio of 8.9 times its current liabilities, which is, you know, a good result. It meets the benchmark and has improved from prior years. The next ratio there is the debt service cover ratio, which council has met for this year. And it's about determining, you know, how able is council to meet its current debt obligations through its current cash. And the benchmark for that is 2 times, so cash 2 times your debt obligations, and you're sitting at 13 times. So, you know, that indicates that you've met that. I don't want to say anything around, you know, getting into more debt or anything like that, so I'll steer clear of that, but you have met that ratio for this year and the last 2 years as well. The next ratio is around the rates and annual charges outstanding percentage, which is set at 10% of your rates should be the maximum amount outstanding at year end. You haven't met that ratio this year. You're actually at 10.5%. In 2021, you met it at 9%, and in 2020, you're at 11.8%. So there's a clear indication there of that ratio fluctuating based upon economic events. So 2020 COVID, you know, slowed down debtor collection. Last year was a, you know, slightly better situation for everyone. And then this year interest rates are getting higher and higher. So that slowed down. It's something to just be mindful of. You know, debt collection is a very important part of operating a business. But, you know, it's about understanding the causes behind why it's going up and down. And then the final ratio is the cash expense cover ratio. And it's basically going, if all sources of revenue were to stop tomorrow, how long would council be able to operate for under its current expenditure regime? And the benchmark is 3 months set by the OLG, but you've far exceeded that. You're at 12.9 months. So you'd be able to operate for a year, potentially with your current cash reserves. So that's good that you've met that ratio. The final thing that I wanted to highlight in the financial statements, is your renewal expenditure. So renewal expenditure that's shown in your property, plant and equipment is an indicator of how much you're spending to renew the condition of your assets. So as they deteriorate, what money are you putting in to bring them back up to a serviceable condition? The renewal expenditure for council for the year was $3.2 million. This was actually a decrease of $6 million compared to the prior year. And what is the most important thing that we look at from an audit perspective is, how does the renewal expenditure compare to your depreciation expenditure? And for 2022, you had a shortfall of $5.2 million. So you spent $5.2 million less on renewal than the depreciation expenditure. And what that is an indicator of, because depreciation is meant to show wear and tear of assets over time, it indicates that for that year, your assets potentially have deteriorated at a greater rate than you've been bringing them back up to serviceability. Over the long term, if you continue to have renewal expenditure less than depreciation, then you theoretically should see a deterioration in your asset network, which is not a good thing. So it's something that we like to highlight to go as part of a prudent asset management for council. You should be looking at at least having a strategy around that. Not saying that you have to spend it that way every year, but over the long term, it should average out roughly. So with that said, those are the key areas of the financial statements. In terms of the audit, we also look at legislative compliance, and we did not note any breaches or non-compliance with legislative compliance that were material for our audit purposes. And the accounting records were prepared to a satisfactory basis for us to form our opinion and conduct the audit. And that's a testament to the work that the finance team in particular, Igor and Mustak and the team that supported them to help get the audit done, get the financial statements completed and the audit done in the end. So we thank them for their efforts. We thank you guys for working with us and helping us get things done. Any questions? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Should you go last or first?
I'll go last.
Okay. Go first. All right, Councillor O'Connor.
I have three questions. I'll preface the first two questions by saying that the $1.2 million deficit of net operating results for the year before grants and contributing provided by capital purposes of $1.2 million is, as far as I'm concerned, is a nonsense figure. It's a nonsense figure because it's not shown in any other type of accounting other than in New South Wales accounting requirements. However, it is an element of the grants and contribution for capital purposes. When we adopted the accounts on the 30th of January for referral to you as auditors, we did it with the following to discuss with the auditors. One, council would prefer to allocate the groundwater investigation grant to operating revenue, currently listed as CapEx projects. There's a $181,000 capital amount, which we asked our staff to raise with you. And I understand on raising it was told basically that we had adopted it with the $1.2 million deficit, and it can't be changed. Now, I have to tell you, this is the third year that I've raised questions with the auditors, and each time I've raised questions, it's either been too late at this time or too early. So basically, was the question raised with you as an auditors, and if you didn't agree with it, why? That's the first question.
Um, Yeah, well, thank you for that question. It's something that, off the top of my head, I don't believe it was a key issue as part of the audit, but it may very well have been raised. We, as auditors, we are required to comply with accounting standards and consistency across all councils in local government. So in terms of our assessment of what's capital and what's not capital, that is based upon the treatment that's provided to us, our assessment of it, and ensuring that that's the same for other councils across the state. I'm happy to take that one on notice, because off the top of my head, it wasn't a key audit issue. But I'm happy for management to flag their opinions on that one.
Yeah, so I'll just add on this. So this particular issue, which was discussed on 30 June meeting, so 30 January meeting, yes. So as far as the financial reporting and audit concerned, this is not a material issue. So we took a position that the main purpose of January and February, of February audit process, was to pass the audit to make sure that the whole financial statement is materially correct. And we spent a lot of time with audit team on analyzing grants reconciliation at that stage, which it was, which was far from ideal. So we put a lot of efforts on making sure that the grants note is correct as far as the materiality of the whole financial statement concerned. So so to answer the question whether this particular item of the that meeting was discussed, the answer would be no, because if we would start looking into this, we would put the whole process of all the audit into the very long discussion. So, but again, as I mentioned on in January, moving forward in this financial year, grant reconciliation is a top priority task for us, and we will make it we'll try to make it ideal. But again, coming back to February, we had to take a decision to make sure that the audit is finalized and the whole statement is materially correct.
I'll have Canova my explanation to that answer. Okay. For the auditor, $181,000. When it has an effect on $1.2 million is 10 or 11%. As far as I'm concerned, that's more than material, and I would have expected it to be changed. That's my response. It was for, so you know, it was for water investigation. Now, water investigation involved drilling holes in other person's properties. There was no asset achieved by that. It should never have been a capital amount. We identified it on the 30th of January. We asked for it to be considered, and as far as I'm concerned, the answer is unsatisfactory. Thank you. My second question, the second part of that, adoption of the minutes was that council would prefer to recognise government contributions to McMoore Gardens residents currently recognised as subsidies as operational revenue, not grants and subsidy. This does not change the bottom line, but it does make a change to the figure that you talked about which is now 57% of own effort. If this was own effort income, then we would have a return greater than 60%. So that's why that was put in there. If it is still subsidies, then that's fine. If it isn't subsidies, then that's what we asked for it to be done. I'll let you take that on notice because nothing was done about it. Okay. Now, the third question is, how do you as auditors make the judgment between the requirements of the Australian accounting standards and it's the general definition of control, when the audit office requires us to include real fire service assets which are not under our control?
Yep, thank you for that question. I'll just preface that by saying the audit office does not require council to include RFS assets, just for clarification. It is, as an auditor, we form our opinion on particular matters, and the auditee or council in this instance has every right to form their own opinion as well. And we assess council's opinion, which from our understanding from the financial statements that were endorsed and signed and submitted, was that council in this instance for this year did acknowledge that they controlled RFS assets. That's why in the financial statements you've got a prior period error to recognise the RFS assets.
We had a very difficult link Zoom meeting with the people from the audit office who claimed that they were absolutely right and everybody else is wrong. And I wondered whether a number of councils have been qualified because they haven't recognised the RFS audit. So if we believe that our staff would not have been qualified, then we'd have 100% said that we don't want to recognise RFS assets. Our concern was that the last thing we wanted to do, given that we're still working hard on the operating result, is to be qualified. So that was the only reason that this council recognised RFS assets, and we understand something like $80,000 on our depreciation. So we prefer not to, and we agree we don't have any care and control. The audit office on a Zoom meeting was extremely frustrating, and they were absolutely determined that because to meet the legislative requirements under the Rural Fire Services Act, that we had to recognise them, and we did have, under their view, that we had control. So I'm concerned that a number of councils, and it's a shame Chris has left, because I think Tamworth may have well been qualified because they failed to recognise the RFS thing. So I think you should take that on notice, please.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And that's as I was saying, that you know, we have the right as auditors to form our opinion, which the audit office has formed the opinion that councils do control RFS assets. And I guess it's one of those calls about what are the implications of that. So as you follow the line of decision making line, if the audit office has determined that councils do control RFS assets and that it is material, if council doesn't recognise those assets, then we would issue a qualified opinion. But that does not say that council does not have the determination to not recognise it in their opinion and take the qualified opinion. Obviously, that's the implication of that. So that's what I'll just clarify. That's what I'm saying. In terms of that, yeah, the audit office did do a significant amount of work in formulating their opinion. They've reviewed the RFS Act. They've done independent research. They've discussed it with stakeholders. They've followed the guidance that was issued by Treasury. Treasury had some guidance that they came out with, and it was in the actual last audit office report to Parliament around their position with RFS assets. So just based upon that, that's just sort of the unfortunate situation that we're in regards to recognition versus derecognition of RFS assets. Where I come from, personally, not talking as the audit office representative, but where I come from personally is councils, if they are unhappy with the situation regarding recognition of RFS versus non-recognition, there needs to be a fundamental legislative change to make a definitive statement on who has control of those assets. At the moment, it is, you know, varying experts forming their opinions, and that has, depending on who the expert is, has different opinions on that, and the implications for councils varied. I would be saying to go to your local member and advocating for something to happen there. It's been going on for far too long. There's been uncertainty there, and we've reached ahead, and we've seen qualified audit opinions. And, you know, that should be an impetus for action to go, you know, who controls it, RFS or council? And that needs to be written into law, because otherwise we're going to continue having this conversation, year after year. You know, you might have a council that's going, we don't believe we control it, but we're putting in the financial statements because we don't want a qualified audit opinion. And then you've got other councils going, we don't control it, we've got a qualified audit opinion. But what does that mean? What impact is that on council in the long term, having a qualified audit opinion?
Let's just say at every level the fight's on. Were there other questions? Sorry, Councillor O'Connor,
No, they were my three questions.
Okay. Councillor Toomey or Councillor Crouch? I'm not going to play. Yep.
Righto. Can we work backwards, starting with legislative matters? When you comment you didn't identify any instances of non-compliance, does that refer just to the financial accounting side of the world, or does it look at the council in a broader perspective?
Yep, thank you for that question. So, yeah, predominantly we look at legislative compliance from the audit procedures we conduct to form an opinion on the financial statements. So we ask various questions of management, we do our conduct of you know, we look at policies, procedures, we ask, you know, have you had any regulatory inspections? Have you, had any breaches of legislation? And then we do our work on the financial statements. And then this is based upon what we've become aware of or not become aware of as a result of those audit procedures. So it's not to say that you haven't breached any legislation, it's just that it hasn't come to our attention from the work that we've done in accordance with the auditing standards.
Now, normally we receive some months before the audit an interim management letter. We don't seem to have received one this year. That covers a lot of that, the material you're just talking about.
Yep, so the interim management letter is being finalised with management at the moment for issuance. There has been significant delays with some of the management letters this year, and that's predominantly due to some of the significant issues that we've been experiencing across the sector, particularly with RFS, as you can understand the amount of work that the audit office has had to do in forming their opinion and working through the different areas of the RFS positions. But it is being issued, and there is a final management letter as well. They'll probably both come to council at the same time, unfortunately for this year, but that's just the realities of where we are this year.
Thank you for that. I was wondering what was going on. The infrastructure, property, plant and equipment. Council and the renewals. There's a number of buildings council has, major bridges, that the council will never replace out of its own funds. The sewerage, for its, I presume that $6 million last year that we put in, a large part of that was the Bundara sewerage. So we've kind of presented a wrong picture in terms of the impact on council's resources in the longer term by the way this is presented. Is there any opportunity for council to make conscious decisions for the larger items that we'll never replace from our own resources?
I'll just talk about it from a audit perspective, and then management can jump in afterwards. So from an audit perspective, yeah, you're right. Looking at the note on the movements of IPP&E in any given year does not necessarily provide council or the users with a accurate picture of their asset management strategies. All it is just the hard core numbers complying with the accounting standards. In terms of long-term decision making, that should be looked at through the lens of council's asset management strategy and asset management plans. They can provide a lot more functional information regarding, you know, where assets are deteriorating, where they're being renewed, when they should be renewed, how much it's going to cost, all those things more so than the financial statements. So I don't know whether management has anything else to add around that, but yeah, from that perspective, the financial statements, you know, they're a very rudimentary presentation of your asset position. It's those other documents that are more management based that are more important when looking at your sustainability over time.
That's all. Thank you. Thank you, Fred.
Councillor McMullen. Oh, sorry, somebody thought you'd had your hand up. Sorry, Councillor Toomey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a couple of points, I guess, and I'm grateful for Councillor O'Connor's contribution and following through on that grant work. I think for me, it's particularly, perhaps, Mr. Mayor, just not a question for the auditor, but just a statement for me that it sounds as though there's been a discretionary decision not to refer items 1 and 2 from the 30th of January resolution to the auditor as resolved by council. And that leaves me deeply troubled about being able to adopt these today. So I'll just make that statement here. I'm really uncomfortable. I felt they were very reasonable questions, really significant questions. The numbers were significant. I hear that the decision was taken, that it was a lot of work to do it, but that's what council resolved. So I'm not comfortable on that point at this stage. I guess the other thing for me is on the report before us and the recommendation, I feel that we need to acknowledge in the report or in the recommendation the errors in the report, that the auditor's report has been available from the 14th of March, perhaps just to be clear, so we're transparent with our community. And just because the statements are wrong in here about it being available from the 6th online, and the local advertising statements aren't correct either. So I feel we need to somehow amend that. You know, I'm happy to put some words forward, but I think there needs to be an amendment that recognises that, whatever way everyone chooses to vote, of course. But I am deeply concerned by the lack of reference to the auditor of the two items that council resolved to have referred that were significant. And would have made a material difference, I believe, to the bottom line. Well, the bottom line of the grants allocation line. And as Councillor O'Connor says, this is not the first time. We either ask too late, too soon, don't ask me, ask someone else. We ask the audit office, we ask our auditor, and it's just ridiculous the amount of money we pay for this, and we just can't seem to get these sort of things tabled. You know, it just feels like it's every which way to say no sometimes to give us some advice. So they're the concerns I have. I think because the report has material errors in it that aren't actually correct, I think we need to reflect in the recommendation. But, you know, when our resolution about what would be referred to the auditor wasn't followed through, I'm struggling to be able to present them to the public.
Are there any other questions? Councillor O'Connor?
Just in response to the auditors, you know, when response to Councillor Crouch's about the assets, the real issue we've got is with the Office of Local Government's selected criteria, because you in your presentation you mentioned that council wasn't achieving that level of 100% for compared with depreciation for asset renewal, but we are infrastructure managers. Now you can do one of two things: you can let your asset run down, or you can spend maintenance on them If you spend maintenance on the product, on your infrastructure, and you don't replace it, you can still maintain your asset. So the measure that the Office of Local Government puts for us is a comparison between replacement and depreciation, when in fact it should be replacement and asset and maintenance compared to depreciation, because that's really the asset, that's the asset test. Because if we go out and repair all the potholes, all the holes in the thing, we spend maintenance money. It improves the road, or it maintains the serviceability of the road, but it comes off our bottom line, whereas depreciation is a non-cash item. So the fault is not with your statement. The fault is with that particular criteria. So that's all I need to say. To say that we didn't meet the depreciation for the comparison of maintenance of asset is not really the whole picture. Thank you.
Are there any other councillors with questions? Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Igor. What I'm now going to do is head back into the formal part of the... Sorry, councillor, the general manager, you wish to say something?
Mr. Mayor, I was just trying to assist with that, the issue that the notice was done correctly for this meeting, but the full information wasn't in the business papers until today. The recommendation that we've got there, I'm wondering if the appropriate thing that council might consider doing is just extend the date by which people can make submissions so that it's 7 days from today rather than being the 21st. Was that 7 days anyway? Yeah. So I think the actual letter of the law, the notice of this meeting has been correct. We've done some advertising. It is still open for submissions, so long as we're open for at least a 7 further days, but we could add some words, I think, in that resolution to make that clear that there are still a further 7 days for submissions from the community that might attend to those concerns, just to assist with that confusion that was inadvertently created. And I just wanted to check with the Executive Director, was there any other information that was to be clarified regarding the questions that the council raised on the 30th of January being passed on?
I don't know. Did you want to
add anything? So my understanding was those questions were taken and discussed with the auditors that came on site. Could I just get some clarity on that?
Yeah, well, I can clarify. So the matter raised on January meeting, yeah, it was analysed and discussed internally. And everything as far as grant reconciliation, which we had at that stage with the then classification between operational and capital, was reviewed by the auditors. We just did not have resources to sit with auditors and discuss that particular matter. But that particular matter was, it's not material as far as audit and financial reporting concerned, and we took this on board for making the grant reconciliation more detailed this financial year. But everything, so auditors looked at the council meeting minutes, so they looked at the grant reconciliation. So
you did share that council minute with the auditors?
Yeah. Council minutes are with auditors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. But could we just... the thing I want to do moving forward is, which I know you've already said you will do, but can we please make sure on our development program for this year with this extra work on grants moving forward that we look at identifying any grants that can be
put in operational and dealt with in the year, that that is our preference, that that's what we want to do, which I think we've had that conversation, but I think, where it's permissible to quit a grant within a year as operational, that's the preferred outcome if it's permissible.
Yes, and just to add in the end that classification of grants between capital and operational, it is not that like a black and white exercise. It's not so solid. It's a pretty, there's an element of judgment also involved. And again, when we do classification for financial reporting purposes, we look at the materiality as well. Because if we'll start to do classification like into that much detail, that would take a lot of time. But as I said, in this financial year, we'll try to make it as much detailed as possible. But again, going back to that situation, we had a very limited amount of time, which we had to deal with.
Thank you.
Councillor Tammy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'd be grateful if I can ask a question of the auditor, just following on from that, because I understood that you, and maybe I misunderstood, so you have seen the two resolved questions from council about the way those items were to be treated. We wanted your advice on how we could treat those items, and your advice was they had to stay where they were. I mean, you have seen that resolution from January 30 and reviewed those two items?
From January 30, I have not personally seen those items, and that is because from an audit perspective, the team audit the financial statements that are presented to us, and we audit those financial statements to a level of materiality that is set by the audit office. So those items were not raised through our chain because they weren't material from an audit perspective. I know that council's opinion is that they are material. However, from an audit perspective, and we're auditing the set of financial statements which were given to us by council, they were not material from our perspective. The other thing is that we are, as auditors, we're independent assurance. We are unable to provide advice on how to treat things to council. We are able to review what is given to us in the financial statements and the supporting work papers, and we're able to tell council we disagree with this based upon materiality. But we're not, you know, we don't look through every single grant that's on that listing and go, we agree or disagree. So I think I don't want to, you know, say whether there's any improvement areas or anything along those lines, but, you know, this year was a challenging year for the audit, as management is saying over here, that, you know, we had a very tight deadline to get things done. If it is a matter for next year, we're more than happy to review what management provide us next year as well, which is part of the audit. And we will provide our opinion on that based upon our materiality. And it's one of those unfortunate things that if it falls underneath materiality, you know, we don't have, I guess, the level of resources and rigour around that we do with your material items. And our materiality is set by the audit office that is consistent across the state. And we don't adjust that materiality for various different factors for different councils. And from our perspective, you know, that's something that isn't material, and that's a management decision on how to treat something of that size.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I guess it just comes back to the point that I can't feel comfortable that those two items were specifically referred. We've had a comment here about we didn't go through every grant. It wasn't what we're talking about. We're just talking about those two items. And there was a lot of time involved in looking at those two items. I'm just really not sure where we landed, and perhaps the general manager could give us some comfort. I don't know about
I don't think we're going to extend the argument past where we've got to. So if you can't support it, then you vote against it.
It's not wanting to not support it. It's wanting to know that our resolutions have been respected and enacted. That's absolutely all I'm on about, because that's what's concerning me.
They've taken us as far through as they can with the people that are involved. Yeah. So I guess
I am frustrated that we're still not getting a lot of... we've asked two simple questions of the auditor, and again, not material, so we're not going to give you the answers.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand the problem and the timing issues. So, as I say, if you're uncomfortable, then... Okay. Yeah, so Councillor O'Connor's put some more wording up, if we can, once we can read it. Councillors, I'm just going to go back to the formal process. So we don't have any apologies. Alleged absence, Councillor McMullen will list you as a Zoom attendant. Were you able to hear all that, Councillor McMullen? Is that all right? I can't see. Yeah, okay. The so obviously the purpose of the extraordinary meeting is to consider the presentation of the 2022 financial statements and acknowledge the attendance of the auditors. Councillor O'Connor has made it's two items. What I'm going to do in our normal process is get Councillor O'Connor to move them, and then we can have further discussion before I look for a seconder and put the motion. So when you can read it.
Sorry, just a moment, it's coming up now.
Can I just ask a quick question about the wording?
Sorry.
That Councillor O'Connor is putting on the board?
My quick question is, does it need to be 7 clear days? So should it actually be the 22nd, or is it... That was just my question, if we can just look at the...
We should make absolutely sure this is 7 days, yeah. Have you got a copy in front of you, Councillor O'Connor, or did you hand it over?
I handed it over, but I can
offer
the legislation.
Okay, so Councillor O'Connor, are you prepared to move it, and then I'll get the General Manager to read what you've recommended, and then we'll go have open discussion before I look for it to put it.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, what I've just so councillors know what my intent to the second part is that the second part is to extend the period of section 422, which says a submission must be in writing and must be lodged to council within 7 days after the date of which those reports are presented to council. And I'm saying that we say that basically it's by the 28th. The reason I'm saying that is because the word says within 7 days, not within, you know, not after 7 days. Okay.
Councillor O'Connor, are you prepared to move that?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Now I'm opening it up for questions. Councillors?
If you want me to speak to
it. Yes, please.
Okay. Councillor O'Connor. For those councillors who wonder why I've done it, is that the first part of the motion is that the annual financial statements and auditors report for the year ended 30th of June 2022 be presented to the public in accordance with section 419(1) of the Local Government Act, which is what we've done today. The second is the submissions under submissions on the council's audited financial reports or with respect to the auditor's report under section 420 subsection 2 of the Act be received until the 28th of March 2023 before being referred to the auditor. The reason I say that is that I for one will be making a submission, and I will be making submission on the basis of the three questions I've asked. So basically that covers the problems we have with the item. We can't change what the auditor's done. You know, we did adopt the item. We did adopt it with those reservations. We now find out, unless we want to say this is what will be done, it doesn't get done. Well, the situation is that the auditors have produced their opinion on what is there, and that's what we're referring to the community. Thank you.
Any other councillors wish to comment?
May I?
Yes, Councillor McMullen. Yeah, Councillor McMullen, I might answer that for you, because Councillor Crouch and I have been involved in a number of discussions through the country mayors and also through local government New South Wales. Sydney City doesn't have any rural fire service, so those councils, they don't care about us. But what they have done is a statewide organisation has accepted that it's absurd. But the legislation needs to be changed, so the arguments with the auditors or with the auditor general fall on, you know, get head off into fairyland. So the reality is that we are, and the last meeting we had with the politicians, five different parties all said they thought it was absurd, but they still haven't changed the legislation. So hopefully we see that happen. But we have had support from those councils that don't really care about the rural fire service, don't have any services that way, but only, you know, accepting what we're saying rather than being champions for us. So it's very difficult. We tried to blame the Auditor General, we tried to blame the auditor, we tried to blame everybody else, but the reality is the politicians have to change the legislation.
Can I just comment on that? I understand that, particularly with respect to the RFS.
Well, we are to the point that those councils like Tamworth who didn't recognise the rural fire service have been qualified. So the discussion with council was that we believed that that was, we were better to be have an unqualified audit and the effects on our bottom line rather than be qualified and have us further review our actual outcome. So that was a decision council made. Sorry. Is that okay? Can I go to Councillor Doran, or are you right?
Councillor
Doran.
Thank you. Not related to the motion specifically, but just around the public, our website and the public notification. Can we please ensure that, so currently I'm looking at the website and it says the extraordinary meeting 14th of March, updated the 14th of March, and it says no longer on display, expired on the 14th of March. So I'm just wanting to make sure that that's available for our community. At the moment, it looks like it's not. The attachments actually do say that the submissions close 1 week after the above public meeting has been held. So just for consistency, that we just ensure we get that messaging correct across all of those. That's all I wanted to mention. Thank you.
So, Mr. Mayor, yes, that's correct that that public notice for this meeting has expired. So we're going to put up another, a new notice about the 7 day exhibition. And I guess that's, while I've got the opportunity to speak, Mr. Mayor, if I may, I guess the only query I have with the extra motion that Councillor Connor has put up is the legislation talks about must, I keep going to the wrong screen here. I'm just wondering if we should just be a little, whether we have to be any more clever with our wording in that, in addition, I don't know, just that the legislature unusually is must be in writing and must be lodged within 7 days, whether or not we actually can extend it a further 7 days.
That's the reason why the wording is as it is, right? The Act says we have to have it, they have to put in, but we will receive any for a further 7 days. So we're not breaching, we're not saying you don't, we're not abiding by the Act. We're saying we'll wait 7 more days before we send it to the auditor. And that's what that's saying.
Yes, so Mr. Mayor, I think that, well, as best as I know, I think that would be okay. And what we would do, to go to Councillor Doran's question, is we'll put up a new public notice tomorrow for that 14-day period.
Thank you.
If you're going to do that, leave it as it is now, 7 days, right, comma, however, we will receive submissions until the 28th of. And that way we're complying with the Act and we're also giving them the extra time.
Okay, councillors, if I have no further questions, I'm going to look for a seconder. I've got somebody, Councillor Bower, prepared to second it. Thank you. I'll read the motion that moved by Councillor O'Connor, seconded by Councillor Bower. One, that the annual financial statements and auditor's report for the year ended 30th of June 2022 be presented to the public in accordance with section 419 brackets 1 of the Local Government Act 1993, and two, submissions under section 420/2 of the Act will be received until the 28th of March 2023 before being referred to the auditor on Council's audited financial report or with respect to the auditor's report. All those in favour? Yeah. Yes, so if we can have that, so we can photograph it. So that's Councillor Toomey voting against it. So with that, I'd like to,
Can I ask your advice on an element? I am concerned by the inaccuracies in the report. Could you give me your advice, Mr. Mayor, on how we could correct those around the statement about advertising in the Wordsworth, which didn't appear, and the fact that I think as council we should acknowledge that the auditor's reports were not on the website or the Wordsworth or the New England Times? It does bother me that that isn't not a correct report. They were not available until this morning.
The issue with the Wordsworth
in the office, but I get the others.
Yes. While I accept that it's not part of the recommendation, we do need to acknowledge that it was late for that last Wordsworth, so we'll go into the next one, and I appreciate that that was an error. Also that we've learned that some of the links to the auditor's statements we needed to correct, so we do need to do better in that regard, so I'll publicly acknowledge that. Councillors, I'm going to close the meeting. I'd like to thank Jacob and Igor for their attendance, and like all these things, this council's very keen to sort out around their operating result. I think the issues around own funding. I remember reading a report from Broken Hill said that theirs is 20%, and if they expected to operate without any grant funding, you could all go whistle Dixie. There's some work around the rates collection I appreciate, but I think otherwise I appreciate the work that's all been done. Mushnak and Igor and Tom, thank you very much, and we'll break for 5 minutes before we have another presentation. Thank you very much.